Hello, this is John Burns, and I'm doing the first of my walkabout recordings. I'm actually standing right now, just a few hundred yards past Glenmore Lodge, the mountain training centre in the Cairngorms, and it's a beautiful day. It's sunny. It's the end of March. We wouldn't believe it. The sky is blue, which surprised me because when I left Inverness, it was pretty. Misty, and I nearly turned back, but as soon as I got to the Cairngorms, the clouds parted and it's brilliant sunshine. Not too hot, thank God, good day for walking. So today, what I'm going to try and do, I'm attempting, for the second time this year, to be honest, to walk into Fendor and Bothy. It's quite a walk, right into the centre of the Cairngorms, and it's, well, it's a long way, and the last time I tried it, I ended up knee-deep in snow, and I didn't get there, and I had to spend the night in the Fords of Anne Refuge, which is basically, if you can imagine, a garden shed that's really well insulated. It was a very comfortable night, I had to say. No problem at all, but I didn't get to Fendor and Bothy. So, come with me. I've got all my kit, got my whiskey, my coal, my sleeping bag, my cooking, tin of steak, you know what I mean? I'm all right. So, that noise you can hear in the background, if you listen for a minute, you can hear, hopefully you can hear birds tweeting, but you can also hear, I think, a helicopter, possibly a mountain rescue helicopter, just on exercise, I would imagine, checking out the northern corries of the Cairngorms. So, okay, let's go. Put my boots on, and I'll speak to you in a few minutes. Take care. I've just stopped for a wee blow by the Green Lochan, which is an intensely green loch that sits about, I suppose, about a couple of miles from the start of the walk. So far, I've been making my way up through the Scots Pine forest, which is basically the vestiges of the old Caledonian pine forest, the Great Forest of Caledon. The Scots pines are quite old, and they're twisted and riven. The bark is deep cut with channels. It's as if they've withstood a lot of weather and a lot of hard times in their days, you know. It's still sort of morning now, and some of the wee pools are still covered with a thin veneer of ice, and here and there where the shadow of the trees casts across the grass, it's still frosty. But so as I make my way up now, I'm in this quite deep valley, and above me the trees gradually give out to the deeper brown of the heather, and above that I have to say there is peerless blue sky. It's not always like this. So I'm going to head on now. I'm heading off now out of the forest, and I'll be walking into the great vast openness of the Cairngorms soon, so I'll have a quick word with you then. So here we go. I'm now sitting at a place called Beinech Stables. I've left the Caledonian Forest, or the remnants of it, behind me. A few miles behind now, and I'm very much out in the open, rolling Cairngorms. It never ceases to surprise me how big the Cairngorms are. I suppose I've been visiting this area and climbing and walking these hills for over 30 years now. I suppose I know the place reasonably well, although the Cairngorms is a really big area. It's huge, so there's lots of places, even despite the fact I've been coming here that long, that I still don't know. Anyway, it's still nice and warm and hot and sunny, which is not what I expected, so I'm dripping sweat here in my winter gear. But that's the way it goes. And where I'm sitting now, Beinech Stables, it used to be, surprisingly enough, I suppose, a stable here. And that was, for many years, a kind of mountaineer's shelter. It was more, I suppose it was a bit like a wooden bus stop is the best way of describing it. I wouldn't like to stay the night there, but it used to keep the rain off you. And my next stables is a wee bridge over the river here and a path junction. The paths lead over in various directions off into the Cairngorms from here. And the one I'm following, which has a, I would say, a depressingly large climb over the next few miles, is over the shoulder of Bynot Moor. It's quite a puff up there. By the time I get to the top of that, I'll certainly be knowing about it. So the Bynot Moor's to my left, to the east, I suppose, and Cairngorm, the big daddy of Cairngorm, of course, is to my right. I've come away from the car park, really, by Glenmore Lodge, a few miles now. And just like everywhere else, you know, you get a hundred yards or even a mile or so from the sort of road, and you don't actually see that many people. Once you're away from that area, you're on your own much of the time. I remember coming here a few years ago, probably about 10 years ago now, and I was on one of these courses. You know, it's called Leave No Trace, and the idea was they showed you how to camp in the wilderness and the wild places without leaving even a mark on the landscape, just a bit of flattened grass to show where your tent had been, you know. And we'd done that. We'd had fires that didn't leave a mark on stones and little mounds of sand. It all gone very well. And just as we were packing up, there's a river here, as you can probably hear, and I went over to clean my teeth. And I stood on the bank, and I would say about 15 or 20 feet of bank collapsed beneath my 15 stone bulk, leaving a huge scar. Fortunately, I don't think anyone noticed. I left a bigger trace of the landscape than I think I ever done in my life. I think it's still here, actually. You can still see where the bank fell in. Anyway, I'm going to head up now over the shoulder of Bynot Moor. This is the big climb of the day. Once I'm over that side, I'll be able to see whether there's any snow on the far side. At the moment, I can't see much in the way of snow at all, so it looks all right. But if I go over the far side, it may be that the wind has taken the snow into the fords of sort of junction there, the basin, which is over the far side of these hills. If that's the case, I may not make it. And we'll just have to see, play it by ear. I'll see you there. Nobody can hear me properly. I'm right down now. I've come over the shoulder of Bynot Moor and staggered, I have to say, most of the way down to the Fords of Arran. Fords of Arran is an incredible place, really. It's the confluence of almost like four great glens. There's to the west, we've got the massive Loch Arran Basin, which is towering cliffs and the great loch in its base. And above that is Cairngorm itself, and crags like Hell's Lom, places like that. Then running south from here, running towards the Lynn of Dee, is another great glen, which heads south towards Braemar and towards Lochnagar and that area. But the glen I'm taking, which hopefully has Fendor and Bothy in it, heads more or less east towards Tomintoul, but it is a great confluence of places. I have to say it's largely empty right now, apart from me. But my legs know about it, and I've certainly carried that rucksack quite a long way today. And about another 4 miles to go. I'm hoping that the track will improve. Last few miles, it's been fairly broken, fairly rubbly. They've done quite a lot of work on it, but it's the sort of track where you can't really get a good rhythm going, you know, a good pace. But I'm hoping that the track along the floor of the glen should eventually become a Land Rover track. That should be quite a good track and enable me to make reasonably good pace and enable me to stagger through the Bothy Doors in some semblance of order fairly soon. So I'll have a drink of water and I'll see you there at some point. Oh, now here we are at last, eh? Let's door open. Oh, squeeze myself in. Oh, that's good for that, eh? Well, I finally got myself settled into the bothy. I've had my steak and mashed potato. Unusually for me, I struggled with finishing the mashed potato. And then I thought, well, how big a packet have I bought? And it did say on the side of the mashed potato, serve six. So I couldn't quite manage the sixth person's portion, I suppose. But I've got my wee fire going. It's just getting to that stage where it's going to start giving out heat now. It's a little stove, so I'm afraid you can't really hear it. But I could. Hang on, I'll see if you can hear it. Hang on. Can you hear that? Oh, it's not. See, I forgot my kindling. See? If you read my blog about how to light a fire, you need kindling. I forgot it. But it's a stove and it's going to burn. Just to describe this little place, I was very glad to get here, I have to say. It's a fair old slog from Glenmore Lodge to here. You get to the Fords of Anne, and I'm very glad that I took refuge in that little shelter, the Fords of Anne. This is the second time I tried to get to this place, and first time I was floundering in snow, and I decided that the discretion was the better part of valour. And then having done the 4.5 miles or so from the Fords of Anne to here, I now realise that I very much took the right decision. So I'm sitting rather sore-legged in this place. It's a one-room bothy. It's all white-painted. They've got a beautiful little stove. It's a little black stove with a great shiny chimney poking out the front. It's rather good, actually. And I have to say, there's a rather splendid candelabra which I've lit. So I'm sitting there, and I will admit, a drink has been taken at this stage. I certainly need one. But I'm feeling fairly merry now, and my legs are just about beginning to work again. So, when I was in the shed, when I was in the refuge, which is basically a shed, there wasn't much to do, you know, but there's a lot of graffiti there. And some girl had written a name. Her name was Zoe Partington. Now, obviously, I've never met Zoe Partington, but having nothing else to do as I dozed off, I composed an ode to Zoe Partington. So, here it is. Zoe Partington, Zoe Partington, lips like cherries, eyes like stars, hair like flaxen gold. Marry me, Zoe Partington, marry me. But she always said maybe and never yes. And in the end, she married the butcher from Cleethorpe Street. Years later, I met her in Tesco, children in tow. I said, Zoe, why did you break my heart and marry the butcher from Cleethorpe Street? And she thought for a moment, and she said, well, he had more meat. I suppose you can't argue with that. There you are, an ode to Zoe Partington. Tomorrow, I've got to get out of this place. My legs may not be working as well as they were, so I'm sure it'll be quite a little walk. But anyway, I'll be warm and comfortable in this bothy for the rest of the night. In fact, I may be in bed fairly soon. So I hope you've enjoyed joining me in this little bothy. And I hope you'll come on more walks with John D. Burns. I do hope you've enjoyed my company and hope to see you again. Thanks very much. Thank you.